Father, we come to you. We thank you that tonight we can be able to study your word. Your word is alive and it's full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even divine asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is the discerner, the seer into of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God, I ask you to help us by teaching us and leading us and guiding us and bring us into all truth. Cause us to understand, to comprehend what your word says so that we may use it for every part of our lives. We thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light, illumination, causing us to see things we never would have seen before simply because of the opening of the Holy Spirit guiding us into those things. Father, we thank you that we submit ourselves to you. We come to learn of you tonight, and we thank you, Lord, that you will reveal yourself unto us. Revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And again, I come to the enemies. Satan, though you love to come to these proceedings, you are off limits. You will not have anything to do with this meeting tonight. This word will go into the good hearts of the good people, bringing forth great fruit in abundance as seed goes into the soil and bring forth fruit. I declare it, I decree a thing, I call it done. And you, though you come immediately to steal that word, you will not do so. I cancel your retaliating demons. You have no place here. In Jesus' name, these people will receive this word without encumbrance, and it will grow and cause harvest. In Jesus' name, I declare it done. Everybody said, amen. Give somebody a high five before you're seated. You are in the right place. Praise God. All right. Well, I'll let you get started before I question you down. So go right ahead, Mrs. Shorter. No, I got you covered.
All right. Do we have our reader tonight?
We have a. All right. Who's the reader? All right.
Okay.
We are on this.
Proverbs 31. Aren't you glad you're in God's house tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Praise God.
Well, bless her.
We had a little scare earlier today because the lights were out. Yeah.
Yeah, we had to unplug everything
in
the building.
Did you guys have your lights out? Anybody have their lights out where they live? At work? Okay. So we were, Pastor Shorter said, even if we have to have church outside, we're going
to
have church tonight.
We wanted to have it out in the parking lot.
No, I'm glad it's inside. It's a little cold outside.
Or we're going to have it in the foyer.
So we're on, So we're in Proverbs 31, and this is practical guidance that we are receiving from a young king. We have to remember that, the mother of a young king. And I believe that we need to act like we're part of royalty. And what comes with that is just a lot of responsibility. And sometimes Christians don't want those things, you know. Sometimes people will say, I've heard secular sports figures, they'll say, well, I don't have to be a,
right.
What do they say, a mentor to people or example or something.
I don't have to be an example. I'm
but
just who I am. That's my personal life. I don't need to.
Yeah, that's my personal. But as believers, we're responsible to be a light in a dark world.
Yes.
And here's this wise woman giving her son advice. And because he's a king, which means he's in leadership, and we're all in leadership as a believer.
Yeah.
In fact, the Bible says we're ambassadors. Okay.
Right.
So here's some wise advice. And one thing about advice is you don't have to take it. You can leave it alone. You see, people can counsel you, and you can pay for counseling, but that doesn't mean you're going to receive that advice and take it
with you
and do something with it.
Yeah.
So that's an act of our will, and we really can't make people do anything. You know that? So we have to pray for folks that are not in line with the Word of God. Just pray for them and be a light to them.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
So the Bible tells us we already read verse 1, so we're on verse 2, so let's go.
All right.
Here's a mother talking to her son.
Go ahead and read it.
Verse number 2.
What, my son, and what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows?
See, that it shows that love, that admiration, you know, it shows... You know, by her saying, son of my womb, that means you came out for me. You came for me, you know, and so I have you at heart. So I'm going to teach you some things.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take it and run with it, or you can just leave it, you know. And so it just shows that relationship with that mother and son.
Do you see, do you think it shows ownership? I mean, you know, I don't
ownership
know. There's
too.
Something, yeah. There's something about mothers and sons. And I don't care what happens with the family. Usually the mother and the son, you know, there's usually some kind of relationship. That mom does not want to ever give up that son. I'm not saying that she does with the daughter, but there's something about that man-child that, like she's saying here, what my son, okay, she's putting possession on that, and what the son of my womb, or she's saying, not that it's bad to be adopted, but you came from me,
sort
like you're
like
saying.
Ownership, in
that's,
a way.
That's
like,
what I'm
know,
saying.
Yeah.
And so she's trying to say, hey, listen, I have a vested interest
yeah.
in talking to you, telling you, in other words, I'm going to tell you the best. I'm not going to tell you anything that's not going to help you because you are my son. You came from my womb. You came from me. And so, you know, I want to make sure that you know the son of my vows. She made vows to the Lord, I'm sure, about her son. And that's what she's speaking of. But it's my, and my. My. She's serious about this son. And, you know, there is something, I've watched this. We have one son, and there's this deal. I don't know. It's this deal. She cares about that son. I mean, she loves her daughters. She spends more time with the daughters, but her son is just, that's my, and sometimes she slips and says, that's my son. No, you didn't get that son by yourself. It's our son. Okay. No, I say it all the time, too. I know. But I'm just saying, she has strong ownership here, and there's nothing wrong with it. I think mothers need to embrace their sons. They do. They should. Boys need their moms. Now, I'm not. It's not fathers that we're talking about right now, but the problem is that the sons need the fathers right now, and that's where the real mess up is coming, is because the fathers are missing, but we're doing something about it. Dad's a part of me, all kinds of other stuff.
Yep.
Doing what we can. We're about to launch another men to sons mentoring program. Like we had Real Dads and we had Thousand Dads Project over the years. We're about to launch a new one. And so it's gonna be a very good program to help mentor young men, but there's something about that mom and that boy. I mean, you know, think about it. The guy, you know, he gets his football contract, or he gets his, you know, he gets his basketball contract, and finally he gets, you know, he gets some real money this time. I mean, you know, and the first thing, I'm gonna buy my mom a house. Okay, they were broke as, you know, as could be, but all of a sudden, I'm buying my mom. I have yet to hear one of them guys say, I'm gonna buy my dad a car. Is something wrong with this? So there's that kind of thing that goes on.
Well,
I'm going to take care of mom.
Because
she was
the nurturer, so she nurtures right. that. And they remember that. They mm-hmm. remember, you right. know, how she took care of that. You know, the son remembers how yeah. the mother fed him and took care of him and clothed him and, you know.
Changed the diapers.
And so,
I know.
Yeah, and they tend to appreciate that, okay?
It's good. It's a good thing. And I want to say, you know, we should encourage that. I think we should
yeah.
church encourage moms to be that way. About it's all right to be possessive about your son. And, you know, even when sons get in trouble, moms are still there.
Mm-hmm. You're always the mom.
Yeah. So, well, okay. We'll talk about dads next month.
Okay. Verse number 3. Now, this is going to get a little deep here. Mm. Okay.
Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings.
Okay. So this is pretty deep. Okay. So we'll have to go there.
You gotta,
okay.
You got to deal with this, huh?
Well, she's warning her son that there are certain women out there that you want to stay away from. And at the women's meeting, we're learning different types of women. And
how
there
many
are
types
some,
are there?
Well, I gave them, I don't know, I can't remember. I think it was 10. I can't remember how many? 7?
You're on 15?
We're 15? I can't remember, but we have a lot. Okay. I don't have my notes in front of me right
who's
now.
Who's categorizing them?
The Bible.
Oh, okay.
The Bible does.
The description out of the word.
Yeah, it's just traits.
But I don't go to the women's meetings.
There's
I don't know.
There's only two genders. There's a man and a female.
That's right.
But I'm saying there's different traits of a woman, okay? And so we
that
gave
makes
out
up that personality trait.
That personality that traits, yeah.
We have a question from our reader.
Well, I'd like to share something. I was married 34 years to my first wife, who passed away. And when she passed away, a time period came where I have seven daughters. They came to the house one day and said, "Dad, sit down." I sit down. They were walking around.
Seven daughters?
"Dad, women are not like the way they were when you were a kid. They have grown, things have changed. You married when you were 19 and you gotta be careful." And they preached to me and they talked to me, they walked around me and they were saying, "Be careful, Dad. You don't know what it's like." But anyway, they about an hour or more are preaching to me about being careful.
Uh-huh.
And the woman I married, they brought her to me.
Now this one is okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise God for Anna.
And they first brought her to me. I said, "Leave me alone. I don't do that. Don't bother. Don't bring a matchmaker or anything." And they kept on. I tried to hurt their feelings, and they wouldn't stop until I called her. But there's a
long
story.
You didn't lose her phone number.
Huh?
You didn't lose her phone number.
No. Well, my daughters made sure. They made sure.
Wow.
Dad, do you have her number? Yes. I got it somewhere. Well, here it is again.
Let me dial it for you.
Yeah, I'm serious. So finally, they wore me down. And I said, okay, I'm going to call her. All right, Dad, call her. So I called Anna. But at the same time, her daughter was also doing the same to her. And she was resisting. But anyway, so when I said, "I'm going to call her, but I'm going to just be straight up. I'm not going to put on any airs or try to impress her or just be, I'm going to just be who I am." So I called her and I said, "Anna, this is Charles." I says, "I'm only calling you because my daughter's made me." You know, and she laughed, I laughed. And we talked, but after talking with her, I realized one thing: she loved God. Mm. Now that, for me, was an ear opener.
Yeah. Yes.
But how we got there was not what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll stop there.
Well, there's some.
Come on, give him good hand. He's got some courage to stand up and say all that. He's got to go home today.
But it says, "Nor your ways to that which destroys kings."
Okay.
So there's
let's
some,
deal with that.
There's right. some. I have a little note on this. It says, you know, there's some consequences for the wrong person that you be with. There's some consequences that, and it says destroy kings, people in leadership. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says these kind of women, they look for strong men to tear them down,
right,
to trap them, you know, to destroy their careers, to destroy, you know, even their calling in life. Even ministers get in trouble like this. Mm-hmm. And so she's warning her of this type of woman that can, think about it, that can destroy a person.
What do you think about that, though? What do you think about?
And I put aside.
Why would women want to do that, first of all?
Well, because there's different types of women, different character women.
What do they get? I'm really. This was not one of the questions, but it's now one. What do they get out of that? Control? Is that what it
could be?
They feel like they have control.
Well, they have a poor self-image, and so that. It's weird to think about it, but that makes them feel empowered that I took this person down. You know, I was able to take down, and it's really sometimes it's a form of hate, because I hate for
anger
for a man because of, you know, maybe something they saw their mothers go through, or because of bad relationships, uh-huh. and they were used a lot, and they feel like, you know, men only, you know, they only have one single mind of what they want. And so they just have a distaste for men, and so they go for the strong men. And I put a note
it's,
down
I
here, too.
I guess it's sort of a challenge to be able to, yeah. to knock down, you know,
because once this
the
person's destroyed, this person can't lead for a
That's
while.
True.
I mean, it,
That's true.
You know, it destroys not just, could be a whole family as well, but also, like I said, the ability to lead, because we're talking mm-hmm. about a leader here, a king. And okay. so it just destroys this person where he can't lead. And we've known even pastors in this situation
yep,
where they couldn't even pastor a church anymore. They had mm-hmm. to step down from their ministry because getting in trouble like this. And so she's trying to warn this person, because a godly woman would do the opposite. Her motivation or intent is not to destroy that man, but to help that man
okay.
to be successful.
Here's my first question that came to me this morning. Can a woman that is not naturally operating as a virtuous woman become one?
Yes.
How?
There's hope for
what,
everybody.
What happens to
it? It's, yeah, it is a decision.
So,
first of all, you have
wait a minute,
to be
wait
born
a minute,
again.
Wait a minute, okay. Because the Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman, so it's not like they're a dime a dozen. So you've got to be able to step over some bodies to find the virtuous woman.
But it's a heart. It's a heart.
So a woman thing. Can change from being, okay, here's what it says here in this scripture. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse number 20 says, for why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman?
See, what did you say?
Immoral woman. That's
see,
a
that's one
type.
That's one of the traits types of a woman that
okay.
we've been learning in the women's meeting.
See, and when you talk about type, I think about airplanes, jets. Isn't that weird? Because if you have a type rating for flying a 737, that doesn't mean you can fly a 747. You have to have a type rating for each one of those types of planes, because they have different ways of operating, different controls, different things on the inside, different emergency procedures and that kind of thing. So just because you are rated for a Gulfstream 3 doesn't mean that you are rated for, you've got to get a type rating, which may cost you $10,000, $15,000 if the employer that wants to hire you doesn't pay for it. You got to get a type rating to be rated to handle that kind of aircraft. And I'm thinking some men need type ratings before they get with some women, because they don't know how to handle that type of woman. And first of all, you probably don't even need to be with that kind of woman if we can be able to identify that there's different women. Okay, I'm just asking questions. That's all I'm doing. So is my question valid?
Yeah.
But it's stupid, though, because, yeah, you can become a virtuous woman.
Yeah, if you choose to do so. I mean, it's a choice.
Interesting.
Well, it is. It's a choice. I mean, you first need to be
so
born again.
So it must be a choice not to be a virtuous woman.
That's true.
Ah, okay.
I think we talked about it in the church. It's easier to uh-huh. just be a sinner mm-hmm. than to be a saint.
Very
from the from the standpoint that it's choices in life. I mean, we can just, all of us can just, I mean, if we wanted to, we can just go and buy some alcohol right now and go get drunk. Who's going to stop us? I mean, God is not even going to stop you. Now, the Holy Spirit in you, if you're born again, is going to say, don't do that. That's, you know, you're not being a light and all that kind of stuff. But we still have act of our will. So if you become born again and you will to be a virtuous woman and and learn from other women as well as a pattern. And that's another thing too, because we need patterns. We need, the Bible says, follow them who through faith and patience inherits the promises. So it's nothing wrong with, and if you look up that word, follow means to pattern your life after.
Right.
And so, and even Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So yeah, you can, anyone can change. That's the blessing of the blood of Jesus. I mean, we can,
okay.
Anyone can change. But without Christ, this type of person, because this kind of woman is crying out. She has, you know, even loose women that dress, you know, inappropriate. And you know what I'm talking about. You see it,
yeah,
especially summertime. You really see it. You know, just loose. And the Bible calls it, they wear clothing like a harlot.
An attire of a harlot.
See, that's another type of woman. And so,
I'm learning.
Yeah. And so you make a decision. You make a decision every day. Women make a decision what kind of woman they're going to be. And so
this morning, the Spirit woke me up at 5:25. You remember I told you, he said, go over here and write. And he gave me something that I'm adding to the book that I'm finishing, To Hell and Back in Less Than 7 Years. He gave me three types of people that we deal with. There's the praying person, there's the complaining person, and there's the person that actually enjoys the hell that they go through. And he said, this is how different people, and I just deleted my notes, I'm trying to get them back. But anyhow, they're not really gone anywhere. I just can't, they're hiding. But he was saying that there's the praying person. He says, people that go through hell on earth that know God, you can tell that they're going through something because they just increase their praying. They just pray like crazy. People that are Christians but are murmurers or complainers, what you hear them do is just complain and murmur more and more and more. They don't pray to God. They complain to people because they're fleshly. Then he said, there are those, and these are some of the people that I saw when I saw Hades, there are those that actually have been trained in their mind, and the Lord used the word reprobate. They're just reprobate in their mind, and that word means that they were tested like you would test computers that's coming off an assembly line. They've been tested, and then they've been rejected off the conveyor belt because of the fact that they didn't pass the test. You know how sometimes you'll see a watch or you buy something and it says it passed the test and it's got a stamp on it. There are people that's like that. And I'm thinking about that in light of what you're talking about these types of women, because there are people that actually, and the Bible says, even when the last days, when there will be stones, literally rocks, big rocks, falling down on this earth, they will not give up to God.
Yeah, there's some people that won't.
They'll run to the mountains and try to hide themselves. They'll do anything but to give up to God. And sometimes we try to make people give up to God. But there's those three types of people. When it gets like hell on earth for them, they start praying. Others, they start complaining. The others, they enjoy the hell.
Some people do. They like riotous living, the Bible says. And so, and I thought about when we were talking about this, it says train up a child in the way they should go. Sometimes women are being trained to be these kind of women.
Right. That's exactly it.
You know, and I think about King Herod. Think about when John the Baptist was in prison and
his mother.
It was the mother told the daughter, training her the wrong way, told the daughter, this is what you do. You dance before the king. Okay.
And get his head.
And ask for the head of John the Baptist. Wow. And it was the mother's suggestion telling the daughter what to do.
Because
the daughter was like, what should I ask? What should I ask? This is what you asked for. The mother.
Yeah, but the mother.
Yeah.
She had the evil suggestion.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So sometimes
the parents,
sometimes
grandmas, sometimes, you know, and we were just on Sunday night, we were reading about Lois and Eunice for Timothy and saying, hey, listen, it's in you. And besides that, we laid hands on you in the presbytery. So stir up what's already in you that your mother and grandmother put in you.
The genuine faith or the faith
that
was in them first.
Right.
In
what
your
you
grandmother
saw.
Lois first.
And see, sometimes we want our little kids to, and I'm not saying us believers are strong in the Lord, the prayers. I'm not saying the praying people. I'm not even saying really the complaining people. The complaining people are just full of flesh, okay? They just can't even see what God can do. I'm talking about the people that when it's hell on earth for them, they enjoy the hell. The bad boys, they're going to go to jail. They're going to sling more drugs this time. They're going to beat up more cops. They're going to do, and like, for example, the report that we had just today from yesterday in New York, 12-year-old kids got video of it. Beating up, trying to beat up the police. 12 years old, been arrested. Most of them, five of them, been arrested. Three was
but
not, last I heard.
But they're
because it's been trained. They're from Venezuela, from the gangs there, and so they've been trained in this.
Yeah.
And see, you need to keep your kids from them people. And I'm not saying from Venezuelans. I'm saying from any kid that's acting like a nut.
Sometimes you
female.
Get women like this is because they didn't have that.
Right.
Love from a father at
right.
home. And so, you know that old saying, they're looking for love in all the
wrong
places.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're broken inside, really. Right. Ultimately, you just have a broken heart inside for a woman to be an immoral woman. There's a brokenness. Yeah. I mean, even with the young 12-year-old, there's something that's going on inside of him that he's broken. Yeah. And so sometimes it just comes out, of course, in the wrong way. So,
okay.
Let's go with the next verse. Verse number four.
It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to talk about this one.
Here we go.
Now, it's a choice that you make. Now, this is our choice because you need to know how we think. So we don't drink anything. Except is Diet Coke or root beer. Okay?
That's the closest we get to alcohol.
Because our thoughts is there's no way you could get drunk if you don't drink.
And it's in the Bible several places about drinking. And I know I turn off a lot of people when I talk this way because people want their little sherry with their, you know, and they want a little.
But once again, she's talking to a leader, a king.
Bloody Mary and their sherry and their berry and their, you know. Leave the fruit alone. Get some grape juice. Welch's is best. Just get some grape juice that has not been rotted on you. Okay? It hasn't sat around and got fermented. It's not all messed up. And see, people have a problem with that, but it's all over the Bible. Why? Because you drink enough of that and you let a stupid glass of something deceive you.
Mm-hmm.
You will act like an idiot.
Yep.
You will act like an idiot. Sometimes to the point where you will wreck your car and kill yourself or somebody
others.
Else.
Yeah.
Because it just isn't worth it. And see, I don't understand why get to the point where you don't even know what you did. That can't be fun. I don't know. Maybe I'm a control freak, but I want to know what I'm doing. I don't want to be right around. And then wake up the next morning, and they're telling me stuff that I did. I did what? My pants was on my head? And what happened? My shoes was hanging onto my ears? What? Yeah, I got the photo. No, you don't. Get rid of that photo.
You know, and all of us could, not all of us, but some of us could relate to stuff that. So
you
we know.
It wasn't a party unless you don't remember what happened.
Yeah.
See, and that's stupido. That's el stupido to me. You know, it's just dumb. And here's what,
but once again,
do not give your strength to women. Mm-hmm. Then it comes down here and says, it is not for kings. She keeps talking about, remember your position.
Your position.
And I
who
say
you
to every
are.
Believer,
remember,
you have a position.
You're ambassadors.
You're a child of the king. Remember
that's
who
right.
you are. You don't need to get drunk.
You don't need to lower your standards for nobody.
This is
reason. You know?
There's another way to get drunk, you know? The Bible says,
in the spirit.
In the spirit,
yeah.
you know, get intoxicated with the word, with songs and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Well, the way I do it, I just play my music all the time. Worship music that about how to love God. And, for a couple of days, I had no time to even listen to anything because I had to concentrate on what I was doing. I was doing some heavy stuff for this ministry. And I did music would distract me and keep me going that way instead of going the way that I had to go for the business areas of this church. I got done with it. I said, this is stupid, man. I will not live my life without hearing the praises of God all my days of my life. I want to hear about God and do all the stuff I got to do while I'm listening, even in with a little ear on, listening to the word of God, listening to the worship of God.
Anything
I'm telling you can get drunk other ways.
Yeah, and anything that alters your way of thinking,
yes.
can alter your lifestyle, your choices, and that's what she's saying. When we keep reading,
why?
Saying that this stuff can
why?
Alter your decision making,
why?
Anything like that is not good for us
why?
As believers. We need a clear mind. The Lord said, God, in the book of Timothy, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a
sound
mind. And we need to keep that sound mind, because when you're drunk, you don't have a sound mind.
You ain't lying.
Okay, you just don't have a sound mind. And you do
stupid things. I know.
You see stupid things, and you could do stupid things, okay?
Yeah, you end
and
up with stupid people.
Yeah, yeah.
People, you end up with some of these non-virtuous women.
Yeah, you can.
Hello?
Yeah.
Or men, or whatever.
Right, right.
So I'm just strong on this, and people, I've turned off a lot of people in the last, 40 years of pastoring.
But ultimately, and so, I don't know why you turn off people, because ultimately,
Because I tell them the truth.
Yeah, but even though we're telling you the truth, ultimately, people have their own decisions.
Yeah, you can go drink
gonna,
all you want
gonna
to.
Do
you might be drunk right now. I don't know.
Yeah, they're going to do what they're going to do.
End up being drunk.
We don't know. We're not going to follow you home and see what you're doing in your household. Now, here, to be in leadership here, we ask you some questions.
Because you're kings.
Yeah.
That's a leader. We can't have you drunk, drinking and you coming in with liquor on your breath. For that matter, cigarettes on your breath.
But
man,
we have,
what do you do? Not as a leader.
But we have to take you at face value, too, because there's been people that has lied on those forms.
I don't drink, Pastor.
Not just drinking, but other stuff.
On the forms, because I don't ask you.
Yeah.
And I just walk around smelling you. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm serious, because there's been people that have come to us, down through the years, come to us and say, did you know so-and-so's drinking? And said, what? We didn't know that, because according to their form, they don't drink. Well, they got it all.
They lied on the piece of paper.
We can't police everybody, but we have to take people as, what they say, if they put it down in print. But because
one thing we are not going to do is come to your house.
Right.
We ain't thinking about you.
Ultimately,
coming to your house and trying to see if you got liquor bottles in the window. You know how the people.
That's how that used to be fashionable. Remember that people design and even ashtrays and all that kind of stuff used to be.
My mom had cigarette holders.
Well, we used to have, when we first got married, we had ashtrays in our apartment, but we didn't know any better. We just thought that was part of, because that's what I grew up with. My mother was a smoker. Your mother was a smoker. So we thought we were supposed to have them in our house.
For people that come over, we didn't want them to smoke.
For people that come over and have to smoke, we thought we were supposed to have ashtrays. So we didn't spend money on them, really. We just went to the fair and put the dime. You know how you win those ashtrays. Those were our ashtrays
That's
in our
true.
House. That's the
true.
Truth. That's
I
the
like
truth.
The one where you do the dimes.
And then we found out, wait a minute. No, and this is true. We found out. We said, wait a minute. Now this is when we first was married, okay? We said, wait a minute. See how you grow in the things of God? We grow from glory to glory, the Bible says. Thank God for his grace. And so we thought about it one day. We said, wait a minute. We don't smoke. So why do we have these ashtrays in our house? So we're just going to tell people they can't smoke in our house. And you know what's something about that? I was just telling you this the other day. Now they have it where you can't even smoke in some businesses. You have to go outside. You see the employees going
That's
outside
right.
and take their smoking break.
Yeah.
breaks. And so
you used to be able to smoke on the airplane. Now that's really crazy.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Oh, that was. How many of you remember that?
That
when you,
air is just circulating. You're talking about second.
Oh, and that smoke would just come right back to the section.
Well,
I remember that
section,
as a kid.
But the whole system
that
is pumping it everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I know we've gotten off drinking to smoking, but,
but it's
you
the
know.
Same basic thing. It's a weight. See,
but
you
it's
don't,
a weight. It's
okay.
a weight. It's
okay.
a weight.
You don't
it just
have to
have.
I'm going to go far now. You don't have to have sex to live. And it'll mean you have to be celibate. It's just that you're controlled. You know how to possess your vessel.
Mm-hmm. The Bible says
Thessalonians chapter 4.
Yeah.
You with some honor. You don't have to do it. You don't have to smoke a cigarette. You don't have to drink that wine. You think you have to have it every Friday night to celebrate the week being over for dinner. But you don't have to do that.
And then
I remember we used to deal with kids
that
smoking weed when we used to go to Raymond Hall, go to the juvenile diagnostic center over here, Raymond Hall, and preach to the kids. Some of them were murderers that were in for murder, and we would preach to them. I remember Massey, that kid that shot that business owner, that little store owner with a shotgun and stuff, and we ministered to him. He ended up life in prison. But anyhow, we would go in there and say, well, what am I going to do? I smoke. I said, you're sitting here in this place. When's the last time you had a cigarette? Well, I've been here for a month. Well, the last time you had a cigarette must have been a month ago, because you ain't smoking in this place. So what are you talking about? You broke the habit already. You don't smoke. You just got a habit of thinking you have to smoke. There's no way you're hooked on smoking, because you've been a month without it. Okay, I'll leave
but
that
see,
alone.
Once again, you have your own choice. This
nobody's
is
telling
way,
you what to do. You do what you want to do.
This is what we believe. This is our decision according to the Word of God. But I know this Bible, this is very clear that the mother is saying, hey, stay away from this stuff, because guess what? And it's in the second verse. Go ahead and read the next verse, and then we'll
verse
stop
five.
There. Yeah.
Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted.
See, in other words, so you're going to, like I said earlier, when you get drunk, you'll forget about things, your morals, your judgment will be off. So why take anything that's going to alter your brain cells or anything that's going to hurt you in the long run. Even smoking, that's what I'm saying. And smoking, we can't say it's, I don't know, it's a sin, or I think it's a weight, but God says that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and we should take care of it, but it's not helping you.
Right.
It's not helping your skin, it's not helping your physical body.
Your lungs.
And so why do things, that's tearing you down, that's breaking you down in a physical way.
Right. Right.
And as you get older, you want to do everything you possibly can to keep this body going. So give it help while you're young.
70 is serious.
Well, you need to make stuff start creaking and popping and stuff. Yeah, you need to make decisions.
What in the world is going on? The same body I had 3 months ago, and all of a sudden, I hit 70. Getting up and, wow, where'd that come from? I'm
saying, so you need to try to.
2 months ago, I was 69, and I was just, hey, let's move. I hit 70. What in the world is this? I don't know what this is. So, yeah, you want to take care of that body, because one day you're going to need to take care of that body, okay?
So you need to do all that you can right now to take good care of your body, because you want it to last a long time.
Yeah.
And then also to be an example. And I believe that, and it's talking about forgetting. So that means you're getting drunk. You're forgetting, and it's not good for you. So anything that's altering the way you think, your judgment, and everything else is just not good. And you need to ask God. If you have a problem in this area, ask the Lord, take it before him, and get control.
Personal.
Because we have self-control. That's part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we need to control those areas. And, you know, and another reason we didn't want to, you know, have this, besides being an example to the Lord of not drinking, smoking stuff, we didn't want our kids to grow up in that kind of household. So if they have choices, if they're doing those kind of things, they didn't get it from us.
They didn't see us drinking.
And so we wanted to give them a good start.
Right.
And so we didn't want to do those things.
Now, let me say this. First of all, it says, it is not for kings to drink wine. It doesn't say to get drunk. You shouldn't even drink it. Now, if I really wanted this church to grow, all I would have to do is start compromising. If
not
I started saying, it's
area,
all right every once
a lot
in a while,
of areas.
You know, you celebrate and you go ahead. I mean, you may get a little tipsy, but that's all right. That's all right. You know,
no,
everybody get a, people would pack into this church.
Remember,
because they're getting a buy off from the ultimate or the last word that they gonna hear before they go to heaven or hell. And that is the church, God, his word, and his man or woman speaking that. And so if I wanted to grow this church, all I have to do is compromise. Because compromising churches don't have a problem with people coming.
That's so true.
But when you start talking like this, I'm doing this church in a just a carnal way of thinking, I'm doing this church a disservice by saying, y'all don't need to be drinking, not anything. Because he's like, well, he sure are legalistic. No, I'm just reading the Bible. It's been in your lap all this time. You want to read that page. You want to read the page about you blessed coming in and blessed going out, blessed in the city and blessed in the field, blessed in the blessed and the blessed in the blessed.
I mean,
you ain't
going to
be blessed if you do these things against God. God can't keep blessing your mess.
We actually heard a minister. They had a question. It was a call-in question and about smoking marijuana.
Yeah, I know.
And this minister actually answered the question and said, well, you know, a little bit of that is not going to hurt anybody. I'm saying, see, and this is what you're saying. And remember we went to that one event? I forget what it was. It's been so many years ago. Remember they had like a beer ministry?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
They had a beer
pizza
ministry.
And beer ministry. Was their ministry.
He actually stood up and said, we have a beer ministry, and so we drink it, and they gave the time and stuff, and it was, he called it a beer ministry. It was some kind of church, and they had a beer ministry where it was their social time, and so it was just really weird. So what Pastor was saying, I'm just trying to relate to what you were saying, is that, you know, there's compromising Christians.
But see, I know what I'm doing, because I know what I'm doing. I know that I'm saying stuff that people don't like, but I don't give a rip. I got to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me. Please, God, help me. I'm going to say it whether you like it or whether you don't. Because I don't want to get up there in front of God and say, well, now that smoking and drinking thing, I just let them go for a little bit. Because, you know, it's like, you ain't said nothing, fool. You had responsibility to tell them the truth. All you had to do was read my book and just say, that's the book. You didn't have to make nothing up. It's already in their book. It was in your book, their book, everybody's book that opens the book. It says the same thing. Kings, not for kings to drink wine. Not to kings, not to get drunk, but to drink wine. If you're a leader, what you doing drinking? And that's the attitude we have in this church. That's why we have a questionnaire. We do have a questionnaire that we give to people, and we do look at it. And I do sign off on them or not. Because if it says, you know, I'm sleeping with somebody or I'm living as though I'm married, but I'm not, but I'm having sexual relationships, I don't want that curse in this church. Now, one thing I got to give it here. I've accepted people saying that they tithe, but they lie. Now, I know it's getting hot now. It's really getting hot. I can hear y'all breathing. I mean, but all of this is the word of God. And so we say, Because why, if you curse with a curse, even this whole nation, because you have robbed me, why do I want somebody cursed running the camera? Or they got their cursed hands on the sound. And we're preaching the gospel, and all these people singing, and they stealing from God. Now, I haven't cracked down on this like I probably should, because I don't know what people make, and I don't know who gives just cash. And I don't know who does not use an envelope. But I do know that there's a whole lot of people that haven't given anything, that have lied on a piece of paper, and are working in this church saying that they pay the tithes, give an offering. Now, I ain't going to be like some ministries, like one in Atlanta that's very well known worldwide, that the last time I checked, it's been a while, I don't know if they do it anymore, but they used to ask for your social security number, and basically they want to know what you make per month so they can know what you're supposed to be tithing. That was how that church was. I don't think it is anymore, but that's how it was. I'm not that way. I'm not going to be that way, because really it's ultimately between you and God. You do what you want to do. But if the curse...
But it's the heart, too.
I got to find the scripture.
I said, but it's the heart, too.
Yeah, it is.
Because the Bible says where your treasure, that's where your heart 26. Is. And so we want people's heart to be in the ministry. And there are, you know, there are just some people that just never even just give anything, you know. And it's just their heart is not really here. And that's why it's easy for them to just drop out of departments, drop out of the church, get mad, give up, quit, and all that kind of stuff. Because they never were givers.
When you are going to buy a house, they ask you for earnest money. Now, you may borrow it. You may get it from a friend, whatever the rules and regulations say you can do. But you're going to put some money down on that house most of the time, unless you put your life down with the VA in the military. You put your life down on the line. They will do it 100% without a problem, because you put your life on the line and they trust you. And this is a contribution to this country, your service, giving your life almost. I mean, you know, you could have given your limbs or whatever, because you served in this country. So the VA will give you a zero down loan. But most typical conventional loans, they want 10, 20% down. Why? They want some, as the world says, some skin in the game from you. Because they know if you put 20% down on a modest house, a $300,000 house, 20% of that is, what, $30,000? Or is it more? $300, $60,000. You're going to put $60,000 and then act a fool? No, you ain't going to do that. But you put that money down, you're going to make sure you get a payment good pay, because you don't want them taking that house from you. You're going to probably keep it up. It's going to look better than the rentals around you. They know you're going to make sure you're on time so you can be able to have good credit and keep this if you want to refinance or whatever. They need you to have financial investment into it to feel like you're part of it. Well, the kingdom of God is no different. No deposit, no return. And this is why some people say, well, God leads the church. What difference does it make? You ain't giving nothing. All you do is sit there and rub your butt on the chairs. You ain't doing nothing but wearing out the chairs and the carpet. We just had to replace the carpet because you're walking on the carpet, but you ain't paying no tithes and offering. I ain't going to come. Great. Maybe somebody that'll pay some tithes will take your place. In fact, I act like a coach. I say, Father, I'll trade that plumber for 2 Boeing Rickers. The plumber didn't pay nothing anyhow. See, now that's just carnal, right? But see, that's where we could take it. I don't take it there. Whosoever will, let him come. That's what Jesus said. And God still accepts people that sit there and curse his name, disobey him, drink, smoke, cuss, act a fool, cheat on their spouse, and God still works with them. Only God can do that. I couldn't do it. I'd be able to slap you upside your head. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'd take your clothes, put them outside the house. Put them on the porch. I got to do something. I can't just deal with it. Come on now. Talk to me, somebody. Okay, now, let me show you why you don't get away with this, though. Go with me to Proverbs 26 and verse number 1. Now, I have two more questions, but I ain't going to ask them today. I got two more questions about these virtuous women. So a woman that is not virtuous, just like a man that was a scoundrel, a whoremonger, if you're a whoremonger, there must be whores out there. Okay, and people get mad when I get talk like this, but I'm reading the Bible. Come on. God called Israel whoremongers. He called them idol worshipers. The word idol or idolatry and adultery are the same word in the Hebrew.
Such were some of you, the Bible says.
That's right.
And that's the good thing
we
about
were all messed up.
About the Bible, about God. It says when we were yet in our sins, he died for us. And so there's hope for anybody. As long as you're breathing, there's still hope for you.
Right. Okay, so virtuous women can become virtuous women. Even if they were not virtuous women, they can make a change. And that's the hope that God has. That's the hope that we have as we continue to pray for people that act in a fool.
But it's
because, you know, we're saying maybe they'll change. You change. I change. I was a fool. At one point, we all were a fool. But praise God, that's what this thing is all about. Now watch this, because we're going to finish with this right here.
But there's some cases that people don't make those
they
decisions.
Don't choose to change.
So, yeah.
They don't want to change.
So
some grew up with parents that called them stupid, said you're just devious, you're just a fool, you ain't gonna, didn't do what Lemuel's or Solomon's mother did to tell him don't do these things. They say you the bad boy, you go on and do it. You know, you the bad girl, man. You know how to, yeah. See, and they're promoting the wrong thing out of that child. It's the saying, don't be that way. The Bible, and the Lord came to me the other day about this train up a child. Remember, I talked to you about this. He said, there's no way for you to train up a child without getting them in church. Because how are you going to train them at your house? You ain't going to just train. You sure ain't going to send them to school and they're going to learn this stuff. You have to bring those children kicking and screaming to church. And if you do not, you will never see them get trained up, because what you're training them to do is to go to church when they don't want to. You got to train them. You got to make them. That boy, those two girls in our house, you eat my food, you sleep in my bed, you sit there parking your car in my garage, you come on to church. That's the rent you pay. We ain't charged none of them rent. None of them. Even though he went and came back. Never had to charge them anything. Never would charge them anything, because they're my children. But you're going to go to church. That's what you're going to pay. You're going to go to church, because I'm going to train you up. So when you get old, you'll realize what your daddy and mommy was trying to get you to do was the right thing in the first place.
Amen.
Now, here's the last thing we're going to do right here. These first two verses of Proverbs 26. It came to me as we was going along. It says, as snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting. You don't want rain in the harvest, okay? So, and you don't need, who needs snow in July? You have a 4th of July and you got a snowstorm going on. It's nuts, okay? As snow in summer, it doesn't fit. Rain in harvest doesn't fit. So honor is not fitting for a fool. So there's people that you can't treat them the same like they're virtuous women. Why are we going to treat every woman as if they're all virtuous? They're not. Some are not actually in a way of excellence. That's all that word really means.
And the Bible says give honor where honor is due. And sometimes we're honoring people that do not deserve honor. And that's the problem with the church sometimes.
And it's confusing to people.
Yes, yeah, confusing to people because that other scripture says then we become a party to their sins.
That's right.
If we may not be doing the stuff they're doing,
Romans chapter
but when
one,
we're honoring them and just glossing over it, over them and just say, you know, basically it's okay. We're saying it with our, you know, our friendship or whatever.
Yeah.
Then we're
going along with it.
What scripture is that? I wanted
Romans
to show
chapter
them.
One.
Yeah.
It ties in at the last two or three,
yeah.
maybe four
so
verses.
You may
it
not be doing something,
even
but
concerning lifestyles, that you don't do it, but you approve of it.
Yeah,
you're the person is worthy of death as well.
Yeah, here it is. It's Romans 1, chapter 1, and we're going to quit on this. But
no, I got to.
Oh, you got
verse
okay.
number 2.
And then in verse number 32, and it lists all this stuff. It says unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. And murder in the Bible is not just what we think of physical murder. it's another scripture says, when you hate people in your heart, that's murder. That's like murder.
That's right.
And so strife, think about strife. We don't think about this stuff, but a strife, envy, evil-mindedness, whispers, those are gossipers, people that are gossiping, you know, sowing discord in the church, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things,
yeah.
disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy. I mean, it's all, and listen, unforgiving is in here. As believers, we are to forgive people.
Okay.
It is evil to God and a sin.
Yeah.
When you go around with malice in your heart and unforgiveness. And listen what it says, unmerciful, and then it says unloving, and then in verse number 32 it says, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice, see, that's the key, and I think Pastor Don Jr. was talking about practicing, those who practice, that means habitually live this way.
That's the way you live.
Unforgiveness, always mad at somebody, oh, we can't forgive. I mean, you know, boasters, proud, backbiters, haters, you know, just sowing discord, you know, gossipers. I mean, all this is on here. And it says, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. That's the separation of God first.
From God.
And it says, listen to this, get this. Not only do the same, but, say but, always look for the buts in the Bible, I'm serious, but also approve of those who practice them.
So people that practice those things, they approve of, if you're approving
of that. Yeah, because you're not challenging them to change.
And
so
see,
they're,
oh,
not, I just
not,
I just can't stand so-and-so, and I'm
not,
just, you know, they made me mad, and I just don't, you know, I can't, and then you just stand there, and you go along with them. I know how it is, I know, instead of saying, you know what, as a believer, you have to learn how to forgive. You're going to have to release that person to the Lord. You need to forgive. See, and we are the ones, because if we don't, then we're approving of those that's practicing that.
Right. Now, let me go back to this scripture, and I'm going to finish verse 2.
Okay.
It says, as is snow in the summer and rain in the harvest, so it is not fitting for a fool, for honor, for that person. Like a fleeting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. What does it mean? It means a curse doesn't land on anyone without a cause. So we do things that cause problems and situations to happen. Disobedience, and it just, you know, a curse does not alight. You know? Think of a bird landing on your shoulder. We had one not land on our shoulder, but drop something on our car yesterday. It wasn't feathers. Yeah. But you got to think about that. You got to think about it. The curse does not alight causeless. You know what the good part about that is? You staying obedient with God, loving God, not getting into all this foolishness. You don't open the door for the curse. You don't open the door. You pay your tithes, give an offering, whatever it is. It's not just money. It's not just that. But if we're obedient to God, man, you know, we don't have to worry about the curse lighting on your children.
Is all these things we just list.
Or landing.
All those
Yeah, right.
You can include all that.
But see, people don't want to hear that. They just want to hear, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Oh, I'm so blessed. Oh, it's so wonderful. Jesus loves me. Oh, I'm so blessed. Oh, the blessing of God upon me. Oh, and without no sorrow. And yeah, you know, but you're going to have to live this thing right. That's what we're about. I mean, it's much funner to live it right. And then ducking and hiding and weaving and hoping
either.
God doesn't find out what's going on. It's not hard either. Did y'all receive
it's
anything tonight from what we studied tonight? Okay, it's the word. We have to read what is there. We're in Proverbs 31. Let's seal this time. Father, we seal the word that we have received tonight in Jesus' name. That there'll be nothing to stop us from being able to now be doers of the word that we hear and have heard. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that if this is your word, you will confirm it with signs following. So God, cause whatever curse the enemy's trying to come upon your people, cause them to live in blessings instead, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for peace that passes all understanding and the good things that you have for us being manifested in every life. We call it done in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.